tell you a story. I'm going to start with springboarding off the song that you just met led. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When I was in college, there was a song leader who had a little different way of keeping time with his music. He did a vertical beat like this all the time. You know, he didn't do 4-4 like this and all that. He just did a vertical beat like this. And when he would lead a song, he would always close the song on the strong downbeat. So when he was leading this song, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, he would lead it like this. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And that's the way he literally led the song. So that's a memory. Free, no extra charge. You got to laugh a little bit in church. Okay, tonight I'd like to share with you some thoughts on Christian hospitality. Who's the most important person who was in church this morning? Wasn't the elders, wasn't the preacher. God was in church this morning. And if we take the divine out of the question, obviously Jesus is not visibly present, but he's with us when we gather together. But the most important person I would suggest is the newcomer. The person who's new, who came to church not maybe knowing anyone, who just chose to come and explore Christianity that day. Yes, it's important that God was there, obviously, and that's the right answer. But other than the divine, I would say the newcomer is the most important person in any service. And this evening, I'd like to share with you some thoughts on welcoming our newcomers and working with them. Because those newcomers have risked a lot in coming to visit with us. Do you remember how hard it is to work into a group of strangers and walk in and come to a strange situation? It can be a little bit unnerving. A number of years ago, Nancy and I were going to her high school class reunion. I didn't know a soul. Now, most of the people were very nice to me. They knew her, but they didn't know me. You know, most people were very nice. But do you ever walk into somebody's family reunion and you don't know anybody there and you feel like you're crashing the party and you feel awkward? That's the way it is for many folks when they come in and visit church services if they've not been a part of that particular congregation or any church particularly. They feel awkward about coming. And newcomers usually have two questions, social questions. The first one is this. Are these people like me? That means, do I see something in them that I can identify where we might develop relationship, we might develop friendship? Question number two, do these people like me? Are they open to me? Will I find acceptance and friends and love here? Those two questions are often on the mind of someone when they're visiting a church, maybe subconsciously. But are there people here like me, people that I can see myself fitting into as a church family? And number two, are the people open to me personally? Are they hospitable to me? Are they opening themselves up to me in some way? You see, if a newcomer isn't a Christian, they're risking a lot in coming and visiting a first time to church. Sometimes people are worried about being put on the spot. You know? Well, what's going to happen? Are they going to ask all the visitors to stand? Are they going to have to ask the visitors to do something strange, weird? Am I going to feel like I'm put on the spot here? Most visitors don't want to feel put on the spot. They want to be welcomed, not ignored. They want to be welcomed, but privately so, and not in a public way. In other words, most visitors to church don't like it when whoever's leading worship says, "And would all of our visitors please stand up?" And they feel a little awkward about that, right? Okay. But a newcomer is the most important person that comes to church because their presence could be a turning point in their life. They've come to church for a purpose. Possibly they're looking for friendship, but also possibly they're looking for God. They're looking for connection to the divine. If the newcomer finds some of their needs being met, they're likely to return. If not, they may try another church, or may perceive that church is not on their radar and they're just going to go about their lives as they have apart from a church involvement. That's why the newcomer, in my view, is the most important person who comes to visit a church service. Every Sunday, and I'm speaking Sunday night because almost all of us here are members of the Lassen Street Church, most of the Sunday mornings, we have a number of guests And I don't mean one, two, or three. If you'd looked around the auditorium even this morning and counted people who are in this service who are not members of the Lassen Street Church, you're going to run out of fingers, and you're going to come close to running out of fingers and toes. We are blessed with a lot of guests coming our way on Sunday morning. That is a tremendous blessing and a tremendous opportunity. Typically, between 5 and 10% of our Sunday morning worship attendance are people who are not members of Lassen Street Church of Christ. Did you know that? Now, some have been repeat guests long enough, we think they're members because they're coming on a regular basis. So that's great, but we have many, many people coming. We have people coming this morning. I know of two families coming for the second time. There may have been more, but I can think of two coming for the second time. And that's always encouraging. We had someone coming for the first time this morning, to my knowledge. So it's encouraging as we see new faces and fresh faces coming to our congregation. There are two main ways we connect as a church to newcomers. The first is through what I'll call program, and the second is through personal contact. Both are important. We connect to newcomers through program by having a quality worship experience, quality Bible classes, things of that nature, where people go, my spiritual needs are being fed. I'm being fed here from this church. That's important. They also want to find a clean and comfortable facility. They want to find quality singing, preaching, teaching, and a user-friendly environment. Program matters. But the other thing that matters is that personal contact. The sense that they feel that they were reached out to, they were involved in some way by some people in the congregation. I can remember visiting a church one time, and after services, nobody had spoken to me, and it was a little bit awkward, but, you know, I'm a Christian, I can deal with that, but a little bit surprising that no one greeted me, so no one took the initiative toward me, but there was someone else on the pew with me, so I walked over and shook their hand and said, hi, I'm Mark. And they introduced themselves, and we found out we were both visitors. You know, we were both visitors. So this evening I want to talk to you about hospitality, particularly in what we think is our public worship and Bible classes, because that personal contact with newcomers matters even more than the program experience that they have. Both are important, but that personal contact means so much. Hospitality is a biblical value. Do you know that? It's a biblical word. The Latin word, hospice, means guest. In the ancient world, hospitality was accepting strangers and entertaining strangers and extending yourself to strangers. That's what the word literally means. Back in Genesis chapter 18, three strangers appear, and Abraham extended himself to them in the traditional hospitality of that era. Let a little water be brought, Genesis 18 said, and you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and go on your way. That was the ancient hospitality. Wash some feet, water the camels, feed the guest, and then they can part. In Genesis 19, two angels appeared to Lot in the form of men, and Lot extended the traditional hospitality, not recognizing that they were angelic beings. He said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet, spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. This may be a passage the Hebrew writer reflects upon when he writes, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have entertained angels without knowing it. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Our Lord taught about hospitality. Matthew 25, he said, I was a stranger and you took me in. And whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus teach that elders must be men who are hospitable. One of the qualities you look for in an elder is someone who's hospitable. Romans 12:13 enjoins on all Christians pursue or practice hospitality, depending on your translation. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Let's remember that hospitality means the love of strangers. Now, how that hospitality is extended is a cultural situation. In Lot's day, extending hospitality meant putting strangers under your roof. Most of us would not feel comfortable doing that today. That's not the way we do hospitality. We have hotels. In our parents' generation, extending hospitality was If there's someone at church you don't know, you invite them home to Sunday dinner. And people would often accept those invitations. Our culture today is a little more reserved about that. Today, we might, however, say, we're going to a restaurant, would you care to join us? And invite someone in that way. By the way, the ministry of hospitality can be done at a Starbucks or a Denny's as well as at home. I think it's great if you want to invite someone. Usually we get to know someone a little bit before we're going to invite them to our home. But the ministry of hospitality can also be done at a restaurant as well as at home. The point in the hospitality is extending yourself to build relationship. It's not the location. It's the extension of yourself towards someone else. So modern hospitality is not always opening your home to the stranger. That we're a little cautious about that, and rightly so in today's society, but rather having an open heart to strangers. That's biblical hospitality in the 21st century in America. So what does it mean to be hospitable toward newcomers who come and visit our services? Number one, it means to see them. You say, Mark, that's obvious. Well, maybe not so obvious as you think. Nothing is more uncomfortable for a guest to come in a congregation and feel that they have come in and nobody has recognized you there. It's kind of like me going to a reunion and not knowing anybody and no one ever talking to me. If I'm at somebody else's reunion. That's the way it feels. So it means to see them. Being hospitable means to see them, to recognize their presence. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50, Simon, who is a Pharisee, invites Jesus to dinner. Now, there's a sinful woman who brings in an alabaster jar of perfume and anoints the body, the feet of Jesus. And the Pharisees ignored the woman. They didn't recognize she was there. They didn't make eye contact. They didn't speak to her. But Jesus is Simon's guest. So Jesus has a teachable moment. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? He couldn't help but see her. I mean, she'd come in, crashed the party, brought the alabaster jar, broke it on his feet. He couldn't have helped but see her, but did he see her? You hear what I'm saying? Did he recognize her as a person? Did he acknowledge her? Did he recognize not just simply that she was there, but did he welcome her in any way? And obviously he had not. Hospitality involves seeing people. Sometimes if I go visit in downtown San Francisco, I see people, but I don't choose not to see people. You know what I'm talking about? Some people that you just don't want to entertain any contact with. You see them, they're there, but you ignore them very purposefully. So Jesus might ask, Mark, do you see that man? Mark, do you see that woman? Not just are they there, but do you see a value in them? The unforgivable sin of church hospitality is ignoring newcomers and ignoring guests that they're there, failing to see them. Earlier I mentioned that newcomers to a church may feel that they're visiting someone else's reunion. In a sense they are, because as regular members, when we get together, it's kind of a family reunion. We know each other, we can talk about things because we have relationship. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if you greet your brothers only, what are you doing more than others? Even the non-believers greet their brothers, those that are like them. But he expects that God's people are going to extend themselves not just to the people they know, but to people they don't yet know. So to be hospitable to newcomers means to see them, number one. Number two, it means to take some time to focus on newcomers and not just on our best friends. Hospitality moves beyond acknowledging the presence to focusing on someone. By the way, you know there's lots of ways to spell the word love. And one is T-I-M-E. Right? If you give someone some of your time, you're expressing that you care about them. And when we give our guest some time, we're expressing that we care about them. Maybe we don't know them yet, but we care about getting to know them. Hospitality is more than, my name is Mark, glad you're here, bye-bye. Now, I understand quite often on Sundays we can't be hospitable toward everyone in church, but we can choose a few people to be hospitable toward, to extend ourselves toward, to build relationship with. Some of you are very good at connecting with one person for 5 minutes or 10 minutes after services, and I applaud that. Because you're building a relationship. You're showing that that person is important, that you want them to be involved in their life just by talking with them for 5 minutes. Not just the perfunctory hello and goodbye, but to actually put some time into a relationship building. That is a focus on newcomers. That I applaud. Focusing on newcomers also means that we choose to, now be careful with this, Mark, I don't want to say we ignore our friends, but we put our friends aside for the first few minutes after services because we want to focus on people we do not know. Do you want to greet your friends after services? Of course you do. Do you want to say hi to people you know? Of course you do. It's appropriate. But here's what I suggest. In the first few minutes after services are dismissed, don't go running to your friend. Take a look around you and see who is visiting the congregation that you don't yet know and go up and meet them, even if it's only a few moments, a few minutes of conversation. And then your friends will still be here in 5 minutes and you can go talk to them then. But reach out to those guests first. Give them an opportunity to build some relationship with you, even if it's just a little introduction for a few moments. Give them an opportunity to build some relationships. You may notice after Sunday morning service, all of our elders, as well as myself, go to the foyer. And that's on purpose. Now, John sometimes stands out here under the ramp because he's learned that that's a getaway door for some people. So John knows where to stand back there, you know, to catch people on their way out at the end of the ramp. But we're in the foyer for a purpose because we want to be able to greet people. Members, absolutely. But also those who are our guests. That's important. We want to make ourselves available. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. So it's not just looking to my own interest of getting to see my best friend after services. It's also connecting to someone I do not yet know after services. And I'm speaking very specifically about Sunday morning when we often have several guests with us. Again, you can usually count them on the fingers and sometimes a few toes involved of guests that are with us on Sunday. We are blessed with many guests. We even have guests tonight. Thank you for coming. Herschel McLandris from the last century, i.e. the 20th century, was a professor of psychiatric measurement at Harvard Medical School. I'm sure you're impressed by that. And he developed a system to measure a person's degree of self-absorption. In spoken and written material, he would measure how many times a person said I or me or we or things of that nature. What he called the McLandris coefficient was the longest span of time a person could converse with another without referring to themselves. Now, you might be surprised by this. I'm going to use examples that are dated, but that's the information that I have. He found that Eleanor Roosevelt had a coefficient of about 2 hours. She could converse with someone for 2 hours without referring to herself. She would talk about the other person. She would talk about the world. But she wouldn't refer to herself for 2 hours. Can you imagine that? I really can't. I'm not there. John F. Kennedy had a coefficient of 29 minutes. That's pretty good. Talk about what other people are into and their needs or the world for 29 minutes before you reference yourself. Elizabeth Taylor, on the other hand, had 3 minutes. Again, these examples are from the last century, but some of those names are familiar to you. God calls us to focus on our newcomers, not just on ourselves. A little less of me and my, and a little more about how are you, and are you from here, are you from out of town, and just what brought you our way today, and questions like that that just begin to connect with people. And that's what we're talking about in reaching out. Point number 3 tonight. Hospitality means people first more than provisions of their needs. People first needs second. So often we're consumed with the details of hospitality and making people feel comfortable. We forget that hospitality originally meant the lover of strangers, not providing for strangers. Hospitality focused first on the person and then second on the provisions. Now, I understand that part of the focus on a newcomer is to focus on the provisions. And we talk about being hospitable, often offering someone a meal. That's hospitality. It is. But there are other ways that we focus on hospitality besides providing a meal. It means listening to a person, getting acquainted with a person. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 following, Jesus is the guest of Mary and Martha. And notice what the Bible says. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. You see, Jesus had come over to Mary and Martha's house as a guest for dinner. Mary and Martha are going to be hospitable to Jesus. That's great. But Martha is so consumed with getting dinner ready, she's not paying any attention to Jesus. So guess what happens? Martha starts complaining. Jesus, tell my sister to get in the kitchen and get busy with me. That's Mark's translation. That's not exactly what it says in the text, but that's kind of the extent of it. You remember what Jesus said? Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? She was listening to Jesus. She was talking with Jesus. Martha was busy in the kitchen getting dinner ready. And Martha was upset because Mary was in there showing attention to Jesus when Martha thought she should be in the kitchen cooking dinner. Hospitality is more about an open heart than it is providing the provisions. When I was a student at Harding University, Jim Woodruff was the preacher at College Church. And he would often invite groups of college students to his home Sunday night after services. And here was his invitation. You're welcome to come to my house for popcorn and water. That's what it was. Popcorn and water. That was the menu. There was no T-bone steak. There was no lobster. I mean, there was popcorn and water. There wasn't even soda pop. So he wasn't being very hospitable, was he? Well, he was. Because he knew that the provisions were secondary to the relationship building. And, you know, he didn't probably have the funds to provide meals for all the college students. But you're welcome to come if you were willing to come for popcorn and water. And that's what he offered. Because relationships were most important, provisions were secondary. Many of you are already doing a great job with hospitality and practicing hospitality toward newcomers that come our way in our congregation. And I praise God for that. Because it's not the job of one person, it's the job of all of us. One person can't do the job. Many people can do the job together. The newcomer has risked a lot by visiting us. They've taken the initiative. They're coming searching for something, a relationship with God, but also a relationship with us. We need to respond to them naturally and in love by showing them hospitality, the love of strangers. Of course, we know that Jesus left the earth in order that we might join him in heaven. It's no theological stretch to say that the Lord is the most hospitable person in this universe, because look what he gave up to come to earth and then to die for my sin. He loves strangers. He wants relationship with us. And when Jesus was entering Jericho, he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. And you remember what he said? Come down here from that tree, Zacchaeus, for I must stay at your house today. Talk about inviting yourself over. Well, Zacchaeus was looking at Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted relationship with Jesus. Zacchaeus had climbed that tree in order just to see Jesus. And when Jesus said, hey, can I spend some time with you? Can we get together at your place? Zacchaeus was so proud. So proud to be able to share some time with Jesus. My question tonight as we close is, have you opened your life and your heart to Jesus Christ? Have you allowed him to become Lord and Master? Have you invited him in, obviously by faith in him as the Son of God, by repentance of sin, by baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Have you opened your heart to Jesus? Because hospitality at its core is being open-hearted toward other people. And that starts with being open-hearted to the Lord. If you need to make a public response to the call of the gospel, we invite you to Christ, who gave up heaven that we might live. Let's stand together. Let's sing.